I had some attachment with water, okay? I always wanted to be in water, so whenever I in my like vacation time, I used to go to the water area. I used to feel that I should spend more time, I should be doing some swim or something like that, because that was so attached to me, but I never been like able to really do something. Okay. But I thought that in this corona time, suddenly we were not going office, so I had a good time that which I can use for learning this thing, okay?
Hi, I'm Praneeth, and welcome to my show, The Active Hour, where we discuss health and fitness, nutrition, and the blueprint to enhance your vitality. For this episode, our guest is Sumit. He's a full Ironman triathlete, ultra trail runner, marathon runner, crossfitter, and a full-time software engineer. From walking to developing an exceptional endurance, he's someone that you can look up to on how to get into endurance training. Please welcome Sumit to the Active Hour podcast. Hey Sumit, welcome to my show. How are you doing?
Hey Praneeth, I'm doing good. How about you?
I'm good. Let's talk a little bit about yourself. When did you get into endurance training, triathlons and everything?
Mm-hmm. Okay, sure. So yeah, basically I'm a software professional and I mostly spend my time with the working with technologies and hardly used to get any time for myself for any exercise. But I had some understanding of running distance running from my college that I used to see one of my professor, and he used to go for like marathons, and I just was with him for a couple of times to pick his packet. That gave me interest that, hey, something happens outside these studies and the college and working life. And that gave me a little bit of chance that, hey, whenever it happens, I might try myself and see what happens. So that's how I felt little interest in endurance. And I looked such event as little bit more deep. What happens? How much kilometers or miles you do run? What happens, who is the winner, and what happened, all these things. So they become related to my general topic and general interest, right?
Right.
So that's how I kind of understood that there is something endurance that is about running. So I had no idea about bike and run, but I kept watching. And after a few years, I saw my professor keep going like multiple places, multiple countries to attend those events. So I felt like, hey, this is something really is happening around the world, and I'm just dig down only into the technologies and work. So that is something that I wanted to come out, and that should I should try what I'm really capable of something in this area. And that's how I kind of started doing going for little myself run and walk. So I could see that I am not really running, but I can spend time like hours just walking. So that I felt that, hey, I have some endurance. I'm not like totally like 5 minute or 10 minute or 30 minute guy. I can spend, keep going. And I somehow learned that in half marathon, you can use a marathon time or even more like 6 hours.
Exactly.
And if you can go for a half marathon, and if you are just walking, nobody's telling you that, hey, you can't do it. So I was in Dallas area and I saw that, hey, Dallas has a very good marathon. They're sponsored by... now it's not BMW, but there was a telecom company it's to sponsor, and I just went and they gave a lot of good things. So I was excited that, hey, the packet baking itself is like they sponsor a lot of things, and I was excited. So that's how I started my like running, not really running, but half run. So I used to spend like 4 hours or 4.5 hours just for half marathon.
Okay.
I kept doing it for like many years. And like maybe like 5-6 years. So I was not connected to anybody, no team, because I knew that I cannot do more than what I can do now.
Right.
So I just spend in my silos, just sneak out in that those marathons, just spend time without telling my name, just getting that medal home, and that's it. And in training also, I used to not train really. I just in once in a Saturday or Sunday, I used to go for a walk or little run. I thought I can run. So, but I used to just walk most of the time, spending like 3-4 hours in those weekends, and that's it. And nothing on the weekdays, because I was like totally packed with my work schedule, nothing else happening. So that was keep happening, and until the corona time came, okay? it was like 6, 7, or 8 years I kept doing the same thing. Like once or twice I used to do like half marathon. It was always like 3.5, 4 hours or something like that. I never kept watch on time because I knew it is just a walking time.
Right.
So that was not a record, but it kept me in touch with these things. But when the corona time came, everything became empty and I had some attachment with water. Okay. I always wanted to be in water. So whenever I, in my like vacation time, I used to go to the water area. I used to feel that I should spend more time. I should be doing some swim or something like that, because that was so attached to me, but I never been like able to really do something. Okay. But I thought that in this corona time, suddenly we were not going office. So I had a good time that which I can use for learning this thing. Okay. So I checked all the website, who is the real coach and who can do the coaching. And I found that all the 80 to 90% of the coaches and classes are only for the kids here in Dallas. So there was no real coach for like adults or masters. So I was so puzzled, but I found one guy.
So you had no clue about swimming, is it? Like
No, really not. Yeah.
So you don't know how to swim at all until corona time.
Yeah, until corona, I never had like my first 100 yards even.
Not
even like a few feet. Yeah, I couldn't even swim. So until the corona, in 2020, I found a coach who was really a good guy in Dallas area. And he was a military veteran actually. Okay. So he was in Navy basically. So he was like everything he knew for water. So he told me, he saw me and he said, hey, just try. And for a few weeks we tried and he kept me going in the pool. So I kept doing that. So he told me that, hey, I told him that, hey, one day can you take me to the lake and something? Because he used to tell his stories about his military whenever we were leaving.
Right.
So that I told that, hey, can I do something like that? He said, why not? So he was just, it was just around like March or Feb, end or March something. And then he told me, let's go. It is a little cold, but we can go as early as we can. So we just went to the lake and he put a suit for me. He asked me to put on a suit, wetsuit. And then we just went in that lake and he told me to keep doing until you are totally done. You're tired.
But and how did you swim when you had no prior swimming experience at all, like in the lake?
So before going there, I mean, I did like for 3 months I was keep doing my pool session.
Okay.
And that so kept me like
I swimming before that.
Yeah, a little bit of swimming I learned, like I can do like 400 to 500 yards, that's it.
Okay.
Yeah. So that I got from like 4 or 5 months from him. Then around springtime he took me to lake, and in the lake he said he also carried his buoy, so that if something happened I can just attached to myself and I can be on the water for hours. It doesn't just like somebody save in your ocean, right? So they run with that.
Right.
So that kind of thing. If you watch the Baywatch thing, right? So exactly, he had that and he was kept swimming with me. So he was fast. So he was going ahead and just then he lay back and he kept watching how I'm doing. So that day he let me go just in deep in this lake. And there was nothing else, and it was so early that it was little dark. And even when we were going in between of the lake, then we saw that sun is rising. So that was awesome. And underneath, I was shivering from the fear, actually, that, hey, there is nothing below me. There is no pool, there is no floor. And that was like really happening.
Scary, right?
Yes, that scared me. But he was giving me that buoy that whenever I need rest. So that was helping and I was breathing and I was not able to talk. I was like, what is happening? Am I okay? So he was keep telling me that, hey, you are doing fine. You just stay. There was no time and nothing that what is happening. It was a lot of thing that I need to be come out of it. Because it takes years to years if you are in pool to go to a lake. Then I realized it's a different thing. I never seen anybody doing that. I mean, I have seen people doing pool, all these things. But I've never seen people doing the lake. Then I fixed that in mind that, hey, this is the best thing I've done in my life.
Oh, really?
I've been to the lake and I have never seen a person doing just going lake in open water. I mean, I have never seen. I mean, I've seen some video or something, little bit like people go to the ocean a little bit, but not really that, hey, can you swim in the lake? Because now if you know any athletes, even everybody will be practicing in the pool. Then I told him, hey, just whatever you need for pay and anything, for next 3 months, I will be coming here twice or thrice, whatever time you have, to the lake only. I will not be going to the pool, because the feeling of that water, right? It was so amazing. I was in chlorine and all these things in the pool. But once you go to the lake and you feel that with your enjoyment, right? So that was so attached. And I asked him, hey, we will doing this for next 3 months. Anything needs to be done. So he said that, hey, yeah, you can do that. And then we keep doing for 3 months. And I never went for pool for that summer. And whatever time I need, I just used to come and I just used to be swimming there. And then once I'm doing that, and he was saying, hey, I'm leaving to Florida. I'm not here anymore for after 3 months after that summer. So he said, hey, you are doing this. And you, if you can do run and bike, you can do some kind of a triathlon. I have never heard about triathlon before that. So he gave me an idea that, hey, if you can combine all these things, we can do some kind of a triathlon. Then I kept searching and I realized that what is the pattern of triathlon. That's how I realized from that military guy that, hey, how, what is this sport? And then I found I can start with a sprint. So in that summer itself, I went to a sprint triathlon. So in that, the pool was something like, it is just a few feet, even not a feet. If you can walk that pool, that is also fine. So it's in Denton area. It's called old school sprint, old college, or actually old college sprint. So that was a little funny that I was there in water. I was trying to swim, but everybody was walking. So that completed, and that gave me confidence that, hey, this is the sport. Next thing is the Olympic part. So I tried a little hard and I did the Olympic same year. Then I realized that, hey, then there is something called Ironman, okay?
Yeah.
I need to train for that, and it needs a real, really dedicated work. You cannot just go and, because it also needs a lot of investment and also needs a lot of time. So then I dedicated myself that, hey, next year I need to do this. And I don't had any team at that time, and my coach was that, though, as my coach. I just needed that swim coaching to be like fear, not a fear from any lake. And then I kept doing my lake. I hardly had a pool membership until last year. I mean, okay, so I kept doing, because in Texas, there was not really a cold water. I mean, only for a few months, that's it. And after March to October, November, you can always swim in the lake. So I was always in the lake. And then I was able to find a first nearby Ironman, which is Ironman Lubbock. Currently, they closed. Half Ironman, actually, in Lubbock, Texas. So I just drove there. I wanted to do that. So there was no other friend or any other coach with me. But I had my own motivation that, hey, I have been doing, and this is so amazing thing I have done so far. So I had myself motivation that much that I could not wait to do it. Okay. So I didn't need any kind of a separate motivation or somebody to go with me or something like that. I managed, because I was felt that this is the best thing I have done. And there was no close by any friend or anybody who even knows all this thing. So that was so amazing for me. And I did that one. And then I decided to keep doing it until I can do the full Ironman. So I, after each year, I did like 2021. I did two half Ironman, Lubbock, and then Boulder. Okay.
Boulder. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Boulder must have been like fucking beautiful, right?
it's so beautiful here. Yeah. So that actually made my mind that, hey, at one point of my life, I need to come to Colorado and stay here. So it happens now. So that was the reason I came from Texas to Colorado this year.
Yeah.
So I moved here. So for that 2 year, I did this. And the next 2 year, next year, I did Oceanside, Ironman Oceanside.
2022, and that was, right?
2022. Yeah, that was a crazy one, because that water was so cold. Okay. And it is known for the cold, because that's the first Ironman, half Ironman you can do. And that's what I wanted. Whatever comes first, I have to do. I don't want to wait for like easy or good one. I wanted to do the one which is comes like first one. So
what do you mean when it comes first? That means they open it?
Yeah. So the season in the US, right? In the US area, it opens in the end of the March or April. So the first one is either it becomes a Texas half Ironman, which is in Galveston. And then the April 1st or 2nd, first week is this Oceanside. So I was kind of done from the Lubbock that, hey, I'm done with the Texas. So my part of the thing also was that, hey, I need to see the places also. I don't want to repeat something which I have done unless it is really becomes like, hey, this is the only option I have. And I should also be keep checking the places. So I wanted to do the first one and not in Texas, because Texas, I already did something in Lubbock and it was hot and dry. So I wanted to see more places, more beautiful places. And that was a part of my interest. I took chance in the ocean side. And ocean side is really ocean, and it was crazy. I mean, I never felt that scary. So that was a real experience. And then I thought, if I do, and I was planning so advanced. Year before, even I have not done my that year thing, I thought that once I'm done, I will be doing the full Ironman, something in ocean. And that became Florida, which I did this year. So the planning was in that moment, and I did this, and then I wanted to little fun with the other one, which is in Oregon. So okay. Oregon was beautiful, but it was a fast swim because it's a river. It just finished like in 22 minutes that swim.
So the one that you did in Oregon was a half Ironman, right?
Yeah, Oregon is the half Ironman.
And
yeah.
The Florida one was your first. Full Ironman.
Yeah. So okay. This year, just in November, I did like my full Ironman. So that was, that was the biggest I have done. Yeah. And I think in future, I will be doing full. I would do half if it is really a challenging. I think St. George is one of the challenging. I will do at some point this one. And I'm also looking any international races also now, that what challenge I can pick now. So I can see beside these races that how to plan and how to work those things. So all these 3 years gave me not only like running and all these things, it gave me like how to plan a thing, not only in the sports but in my work, and how to really execute and go beyond what can be expected. So that was a really different lesson I've learned from these races.
That's so fucking inspiring.
Yeah, I mean, when I speak myself, it inspires me again that, hey, yeah, man, this is a good thing. Yeah, yeah.
Because if you see, you literally just started training, like, legitimately only probably like 2019, 2020. And within just one year of training, you did like a couple of half marathons and then a full Ironman.
Yep.
Sorry, a couple of half Ironmans and a full Ironman. Let's talk a little bit more about the full Ironman.
Mm-hmm.
Out of all these triathlons that you've done,
mm-hmm.
which one was your hardest? I'm guessing it's the full Ironman.
Yeah.
But in terms of when I say hard, it's like, obviously every race is a physical race, but what was mentally and physically challenging? The full Ironman. So why was it so hard?
Yeah. So the hard thing about, and it is actually not just speaking hard, it's real, real hard, which actually tells your soul that this is the hardest thing. And
that to Florida is so fucking hard.
yeah. So the thing is, the first thing is that distance makes everything like bitter. Okay. It makes you feel that why you really need to do this. Okay. So that comes back to the basic thing, that when you do these things, you need to know why you are doing. Okay. So that is everybody, even you ask any athlete, so they should have a very hard thing in their bottom line that, hey, why I'm doing this? Because at one point, you will be talking that, hey, why you really need to complete this? Why, even it is simple that just walk and just run, right? And there is a lot of time actually, but it why you need to do, because it becomes painful. I mean, pain in the not sense that really something is hurting. I mean, definitely things are hurt and you can manage, but there is a different kind of pain that you will not experience in your like regular things. I mean, not like pinching something or hurting or even accident is just sudden thing, and after you go to hospital they will give you some painkillers, right?
Yeah.
So that is not a pain. So it's a different level of pain that which your soul experiences that, hey, what is really happening? Because the thing is, your mind become a very challenged. It's not hurting your body, actually it becomes hurting your mind. so that is a different kind of pain.
Are the pains from the cramps or
no,
what kind of pain is that?
So pain is that, so the pain is the your tiredness. Okay, so
tiredness,
one thing is that if we in our regular experience we get used to, like, we need to get at the bed at this time, after 2 hour 3 hour we can just take off and that's it, right? So this is like your for full day, you are just keep doing your physical thing. There is no chance for your lunch break, dinner break and all these things, right? Whatever you're doing all in moving. Okay. Yeah. You're drinking anything, just moving. You need to eat something, little bit bites. There's no good food here, right? So you're just taking some bites or some gels or whatever you need for that training. And you are just chasing something that, hey, I need to finish this. So that experience tells that it's not your physical pain. There is a mental pain here. And you need to manage it mentally. After some point, even your body takes off that, hey, I'm done. You cannot complete by your body itself. You need to be mentally preparing and doing that. Hey, I need to do it somehow. So there's all these things you can read in book, but it really experienced like that. Everybody say that you need to fix your mind to do this. It's body. So all this difference you will not realize until you do these things. So you always read and you will feel that how something they are talking about mind. Sometimes they talk about body. And there's some pain, so it suddenly really come in front of you, and you have to face and you have to decide. So those things make it more challenging, actually.
Okay, understood. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, you can't even carry your phone, right? Example, your regular run or regular races that you have, like your half marathons or stuff like that, where they let you take your phone. So one of the things that music does is it helps you distract your mind, right?
Yeah.
And I don't think any triathlon lets you carry your phone, correct?
Yes, right. Yeah. You cannot carry any phone, any music. So there is not allowed. Even they see it, they will disqualify you and you are out of the race. So yeah, so that is another thing that you need to make friend of the boredomness, right? So the boredomness needs to be your friend. You don't, you cannot separate that, hey, I'm getting bored here. So that's why the basic thing comes down at why you are doing. If you have a why, so something is inside you to move it, then that's only reason you are moving. You are not moving because some music or some craziness is happening outside. There has to be something inside one that is only making you move. Yeah. So there is no outside thing can move you out there.
Exactly. It has to come from within yourself. And I think, so they say you learn a lot in your full marathon. When I did one full marathon until now, it's the New York full marathon. More than the race, I learned a lot during the training. I did like an 18-week, extremely fucking brutal training. At that time, I thought that was brutal. But then now when I look back, it feels like it's okay. They're like, this was before I learned about triathlon training. Now when I see or read about triathlon training, it just blows my mind off. Like, I know we spoke about this, right? Doing a full Ironman is one of my ultimate dreams too. So I'm planning to do an Olympic distance triathlon in Little Elm next coming April. But I've never done a swim in the lake. What's the difference between pool swim and swimming in the lake? Like, what are the challenges that you usually face during a lake swim?
Yeah, so actually the lake swim is, I mean, the common thing is only swimming, okay?
Okay.
But apart from that, they are totally 360 apart. The reason is, once you are in the lake, there is no direction. That is the worst thing in the lake.
I see.
Because once you start swimming, just after 5 minutes, if you don't see anything, you will forget where you are really going. Okay.
Oh,
then you feel panic that I need to go back. I am not in the right direction, or I am something lost. Then suddenly, the level of water becomes even. I mean, sometimes it happens that when you see, you don't realize which side is really the where I started actually. And then it becomes your panic. So there are a lot of things makes you panic because you're not used to that. I mean, even you said really not going in the right direction, a little bit of panic gives you things that you will not never have in your pool. Because a pool, worst thing, wherever you are, I mean, it's a 5 feet, right? 3 feet.
Yeah.
So you can always
put the floor. And 9, 10 feet. Yeah.
Yeah. But it is always lighting, right? So you know where the floor is, what people around, where you are going. There is a lane. That is a black lane, right? So you know that line is always there. So there is no line. And most worst thing in Texas, at least, is I mean, other places, there may be a good visibility under the water, but in Texas, you can't see anything. So it's total dark, okay? Dark like real dark. I mean, you cannot imagine once you are in face down in the water,
okay,
you are not seeing anything. So you are just in dumb world. Yeah. So you will be already totally cut out from everything. A very glance, you will just take your heads up for breathe. That's it. That's the only you see the world. Otherwise, you are in the blank. So those are the worst things. So there are a lot of techniques you need to learn, how to sight, how to go in the right direction. Okay. Because in the pool, you can always check that where I am and I'm going right or wrong. I need to pull back. And all these things never happen in this thing. And the worst part is there is no floor in the open water, okay? I mean, you can find few lakes that you can put your leg, but you can't tell for granted that it will place you into the floor, okay? So there is no floor. So you always been continuous going. You are not coming back in like a minute and then go back. So that is the difference. So you need to be paced differently, a little bit sightful that where you are going. So that's how it makes it a little challenging. Yeah.
I saw a few races where people jump over each other and they've died in the pool. Not in the pool, I'm sorry, in the lake. Because the lake. They get panicked. They just drown, and you know, so many accidents happen. And I think these days they're sending, instead of sending like the whole batch at once, I think they're just sending in groups, right? Maybe like 10 or stuff like that.
No, now all the races now they send like one by one. They call rolling.
Okay, start. My bad. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, yeah. So rolling start is like one person goes, and after a few seconds, another person goes. And they also want you to place in that line based on your pace.
Okay.
So if you want to be completing in 30 minutes or 40 minutes, whatever distance is, okay. So that's how you can pace. So that nobody is trying to in general, nobody will be pulling over from your behind if they are fast. I mean, it happens, but at least not like everything is changed, because sometimes you are in this lane and somebody is like in full speed. They will definitely be passing and they will be definitely touching you. And it happens even in this role also. I mean, I have experienced one in ocean side. I experienced that I got a hand jump on me, and it actually put a hand on my in my goggles, and my goggles came off. Okay, so there's nothing. I'm not that trained that within water I can put my goggles back and be down drowned. So for those times you have to be a little careful. So what I did is I tried with my one eye open or something, I tried to find where the kayaks are. So they put kayaks around that area wherever you are swimming. So you can find that kayak and you can hold for a minute. You don't need to ask him to take off. If you take him to anywhere, you are out. But you can just hang out any much of time you need. And in between, they put buoy also. Sometimes you can hang them, but it's not easy or good to put along around the buoy. But you can always check that kayaks and those people, they can let you hang, and then you can fix your goggles and everything. So it happens, and it happens a lot in these races. Yeah.
Wow, that sounds scary too.
yeah, that is like a little more challenging. Yeah. Once you go, because even you learn the open water lake, I mean, your experience, that experience is only comes in the race day.
Gotcha, yeah. I'm planning to like train maybe with a group or someone, but definitely I'm going to do it early next month or probably February, March to see how it goes.
Yeah, they will start opening in Texas by February. I know some group like Play Tree at least.
Okay.
Play Tree has some grouping for the open water.
Okay.
But yeah.
I think it's better to go with the group first and then probably do solo learning. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Nutrition plays a very important, or probably the most important part in the race and also during your training period, right? What kind of nutrition did you follow for most of your triathlons and especially Ironman? Let's talk a little bit about your nutrition during the race and for your training season.
Yeah, so whenever I did like my training, I always had some trouble with my nutrition.
Okay.
Because one critical thing I was missing, I was taking good breaks and whatever I need, and I was able to take like gels and all these things. But the most
this
important
is in the
thing,
race, or you're talking about
no,
the training
during my training.
Training,
so
okay.
Yeah, so that's how I learned. That's how you learn in training that what kind of nutrition can work.
Kind of works for you and what doesn't, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So I had used to have like regular gels, like GU gels or GU gels.
Okay.
So that were working for me, but I was never aware of the electrolytes. Okay. I mean, that was just a lot of miss from my side that I never spent time or thinking. I mean, I used to see people, but I was used to sweat a lot in Texas hot heat, right? So I was missing electrolytes. So I never knew it until I started my second Ironman race. So yeah. After my first Ironman, half Ironman race, I realized that I was so tired and I'm totally dead by the time I started running. The reason was that...
Oh, wow.
Yeah, okay. The reason was that I was not taking a timely electrolytes in my body. Okay?
Okay.
So that is the first important thing. Even you take all the carbs and all the gels, electrolyte you need to take somehow. Either you take whatever form like capsule or the things. I followed some Noom electrolytes. I used that and that helped me because that if you lose electrolytes, there is nothing else can help you. Even after you do by after 2 hours or 3 hours, nothing can help you. I mean, no food, nothing. You have to be like next day you have to come for that if you lose that. So yeah. So that was most important because once you lose your electrolytes, your body has no energy to work because it has like all the salt, all your sodium, potassium, all these
exactly.
things. They will not let you put energy anything out there. So those electrolytes helped me, and along with I had gels. And that's it. I mean, I never had like a lot of other thing, but only during the race I used to pick bananas and a little bit date I carried, but not you cannot take like a lot of things, but those only things I could manage for
okay.
whole time and whatever else they give during the race aid station. One important thing, at least it works always even for my half and Ironman, I found that Red Bull, okay?
Okay?
Red Bull was a good nutrition for those races.
Okay.
Yeah. So I even used to keep like 4 or 5 canes, okay, for the race. I can manage to put along my body and pockets and all these things, pouch, those. And I used to keep after my swim and
okay.
during my bike, I could carry them. And when I start my run, I should be able to carry at least 2 for my thing. So they really help because they have a good sugar, all the sugar you need. They have some electrolyte and most important, caffeine is very important, okay?
Okay.
So if you can carry, because in the race, they sometimes give Red Bulls in the Ironman races. But
okay.
they give this small cups. It doesn't really work, okay? So I used to carry and that really helps me because after some time, not only you're tired, you feel sleepy. And caffeine is plays a very important role. Yeah.
Got you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's one of my biggest problems because
mm-hmm.
I don't drink coffee or tea. I just can't do caffeine for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
When I was training for my full marathon,
mm-hmm.
I didn't check the nutritional aspects in the gels. Most of the gels apparently had a lot
mm-hmm.
of caffeine in it.
Oh, yeah, yeah, definitely.
So when
yeah,
I was training, I used to just take a lot of them and suddenly I was getting a lot of headache, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I just had like weird sensation. I'm like, I didn't realize like what
mm-hmm.
was it.
Mm-hmm.
So at that time, I was smoking a lot,
mm-hmm.
and because of the training, I kind of reduced it. I was like,
mm-hmm.
You know, to be obvious, technically you shouldn't, but then you can, right? So
yeah.
I thought, oh, maybe it's because I reduced my smoking and all of that. But then I realized it has nothing to do with that, but it's because of caffeine. So then now I'm like very cautious whenever I'm trying to take some gels or any other protein bars and stuff like that or like the energy drinks to make sure that doesn't have caffeine in it. And yeah
so it helps actually. It helps for the long distance. It reduce your thing so that you can keep moving.
Yeah,
and it keep you motivated actually. That's not the music, but at least caffeine is the music for that
yeah.
time. Yeah.
And do you usually take restroom breaks for the half Ironman or full Ironman? Because sprint and Olympic,
mm-hmm.
obviously you don't need any breaks, but
mm-hmm.
when it's such long distance races, especially I
yeah.
think full Ironman.
Yeah.
Do people usually take
breaks for loo. Because you are taking a lot of fluid, right? So your main food is fluid. So after, I generally need once during the bike, because it's a long bike around 56 mile, whatever aid station. So I plan that, hey, I can take there. Because that is also important. If you don't take, it becomes another headache. Okay,
your bladder is full.
Your bladder is full and it creates more problems. So it's good to, once you need, you just take it at that point and you feel that, hey, you got another energy, okay? So that is you need to plan it. And whatever the first aid station you found, you just use the restroom and just come out, and that's the good. And there is nothing like you are losing time. There is nothing like that. 5 minutes, 10 minutes, even, because if you have a flat tire, you cannot do anything, right? You need to fix that.
Yeah, exactly.
So you need to manage that, and there is nothing that you need to rush for a minute or 2 minutes. So always take time, and that time, and I also you need to use during the run. So that is also important. So by the time you are running, you keep using a lot of fluid. So make sure that if you need, just don't wait. Find whatever is possible nearest and do use that. Yeah.
Gotcha. And one question, initially I never understood that. And now I kind of understand that concept. So when I'm usually doing any kind of races, be it 18 mile. I did a couple of 18 mile, 15 miles race back in New York. I still feel my hardest race was the 18 mile, because at that time I had no clue that you got to take like electrolytes or race nutrition. I just ate something in the morning. I was just running.
Right.
And I was cramping so bad and I wasn't eating, and all I did was just drink some water during the race. I had no fucking clue about all of this, and it was so hard, you know. I think it was even more harder than the full marathon. What I'm saying is, even at that time, what I usually do every race, be it 5K, 10K, half marathon or full marathon, the last 50, 60 meters or like 100 meters, I just sprint like so hard that this is like the last sprint of my life. I just do that, you know. I know some people walk because they're very exhausted. Some people like, you know, run slowly. I usually, when I'm cramping a lot, I never walk because I'm like, I enjoy the pain and then I want to run, you know. For some reason, I don't walk. But in like half Ironman or full Ironman, I see like people just start walking when they're near the finish line. Why can't they just run and finish it off? Because that 1-2 minutes or like the 1 minute will still be like a record, right? Okay, I finished it in so and so minutes.
Yeah.
So what is the concept behind when people just they come running, but then at the end they just walk? Catch the continuation of my conversation with Sumit in the upcoming part 2 of this episode. Thank you so much for taking time and listening to this episode, and I hope you liked it. If you did, please leave a review from where you're streaming from. Share my show with your friends, and I hope I was able to entertain you. Thank you for tuning in to the Active Hour podcast. And until next time, be ambitious, exercise every single day, eat nutrient-dense foods, and stay active.